Turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes, we are going to continue with the book that we are doing together over these past few weeks. So let me just start reading 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll read the first 13 verses here. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich, ye have reigned as kings without us, and I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we just turn into your word this morning, looking back at the writings of Paul, a letter written to the church at Corinth. And Father, even as we study together from this portion, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to glean together and learn from your word, and help us to practice it. Help us to look into our own lives, individuals. Help us to look into our lives as an assembly. And where there needs to be correction, help us to correct ourselves. And Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for having recorded these things for us, that we might be able to learn. Father, once again, we thank you for this time. Pray for your blessing. And we ask in the most precious name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, we are studying this letter, 1 Corinthians, written by Paul to the church at Corinth. Just before we start reading in chapter 4, just want to look back at the few chapters that we've already considered, just so that we have a background again, just to remind ourselves as to what we have learned thus far. Well, Paul has written this letter to the Corinthian church sometime around AD 55. And there are some key features or special features that has come out in this letter. He has been strong and straightforward with what he had to say as a father having written this letter, a loving letter to his children. Now, Paul writes this letter with a specific purpose, to identify some of the problems that the church at Corinth has been going through and to offer some solutions there, and also to teach the believers as to how to live for Christ even in a corrupt society. And I want to pick up a verse in chapter 1 and make this one of the key verses here in this entire letter, the 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Yes, Paul has identified some problems here. Paul came to know about some problems, and he was willing to address them. He was willing to write to them what he saw, what he heard, and he was willing to see how he could correct, help them. Looking at this letter, it's interesting. It's divided in the form of chapters. We have about 16 chapters. If we were to read from this, we should be able to finish it in about 2.5 weeks if we were to read about a chapter every day. But I must tell you, the more we read this book, this letter, and if we can be honest with ourselves, we would tend to see ourselves in this letter. We would tend to see that this letter is addressed to us, almost personally, almost individually. As I have been going through this letter, there are many a time that I've been pricked. I've been made to think, made to look at things in my own life to see if there is any relevance to what Paul is trying to say here. And what I concluded is this, that indeed there is a relevance even this day to what Paul is trying to say. Yes, it is a hard book to read, hard letter to read, because we tend to realize that it is true, and we tend to realize, if we are open, that it will change us as well. Now, there are a few things that I notice here as relevance of this letter to us. It is a timely letter to the church, both to instruct and to inspire. And Paul addresses all the various cultural influences and problems of even today, like immaturity, instability, divisions, jealousy and envy, lawsuits, marital difficulties, sexual immorality, and misuse of spiritual gifts. But one would think this is all that's coming out of this book, of this letter. But in fact, no. If we read this letter, you would also notice that this person who loves his people has written here some of the chapters that has been most read by Christians, most beloved to Christians. Chapter 13, the chapter on love. Chapter 15, and the chapter on resurrection. And having said that, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, once again, look at the first few verses and as to how Paul salutes the people. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. despite Paul addressing this to the Corinthian church, if we look carefully, he's even addressing this to us as well. If we look at chapter 1, we see an unspiritual state of the Corinthian believers and their exalted position in Christ. They follow after leaders, human leaders, and thus dividing the body of Christ. You find that they are also promoting human wisdom, which is foolishness in the things of God. And if we look at chapter 2, we notice that God is the one who reveals. Christian revelation owes nothing to human wisdom, to human mind. And in chapter 3, we would see that spiritual growth is prevented or stunted by carnal state. God takes preeminence in His service. And having looked at these as an introduction, let's look at chapter 4, where we are going to spend most of our time in the first 13 verses. We have titled here, God Stewards, Fools for Christ's Sake, the Right Attitude for Service. Friends, believers, this is a book, this is a letter written to each one of us. This is a letter written to a church. This is a letter written to us as a church. It is for us to consider what is written therein. We are just in the beginning few chapters here, and more than two-thirds of the way to go. And if we have not had a chance to read through or start reading through, I think we can catch up. You still have time. We have a great outline. It will take us about 2 to 3 months to finish. And maybe this is the time for us to start reading and getting a glimpse of what this letter has to say. And truly, you would appreciate what Paul has to say to these people, because it will affect us as well. Let's once again read, starting in verse 1. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, I must also say that we don't use this kind of language, so it's a little difficult to read this, this letter. In the present day, we don't use the kind of language that is used here. Sometimes, if you go to one of these paraphrased or another version rather than the authorized or the King James version, it may be a little more clearer, a little more easier to read and understand this letter. He's trying to say, let a person so account of us, let a man regard us as ministers of Christ, ministers as servants of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards, those entrusted with, and it's the mysteries of God. Now, I try to understand what this mysteries of God is. It came out that these are things that human wisdom could not identify, could not recognize. Human wisdom could not discover, but are revealed to us by God, revealed to His people by God. These are hidden things of God, now revealed. You know, if we turn back a page, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and pick this up in verse 7. 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. God's hidden wisdom was His offer of provision of salvation to all through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. And resurrection of Christ proved His power over sin and death. God's plan is still hidden from those who reject Him, refuse to accept His offer of salvation in His Son. And those who simply choose to ignore it, and even to those who simply haven't heard about it. And Paul here is encouraging and urging Corinthian believers to think of these apostles, Paul or Peter or Apollos, as servants of God and God's mysteries, and not as leaders of small groups, factions, or parties. Now, if you remember what we read through or what we learned in chapter 3, we come across groups of people that have identified themselves with certain leaders, and that is what Paul was addressing there. And therefore, he's saying here that the servants of God are none other than people who have a message which is the same, and there is no difference in that message, and that one should not be taking them to be leaders and thereby cause divisions. And in verse 2 we read about this servant. A servant is one who does what his master bids, what his master tells him to do, usually done out of love, out of respect. And if that is the principle, we as servants as well would do well to do what God tells us to do. If we think of our lives daily, we have various opportunities that challenge us and to do what we know is right. We live in a society where there is no right and wrong. People almost tend to do whatever they want. And sometimes we tend to flow with the stream. We just go with the crowd, not realizing that we have a place, we have a position, we have something to show to the world, that God has placed us here with a purpose. And that is to identify ourselves as His servants, as His ambassadors. Let's go on further and start reading in verse 3. We'll read verses 3 through 5. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise of God. Paul says that he does not judge himself, and he cares very little if he is judged by others. Why? Because his conscience is clear. Yet he says he is not justified, or that does not make him innocent. And he goes on to say that it is the Lord who judgeth. There is going to be an appointed time. God will judge the believers in His time. Let's look at this again, going back into a chapter. Let's look at chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I'm going to pick this up in verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. It is tempting for us to judge one another at times, to judge fellow Christians. Evaluating is one as a good follower, is one as a good believer of Christ. But Paul is reminding us here that God alone knows the person's heart. Paul is reminding us here that God alone has the right to judge, because he is the only one who truly knows one's heart. And therefore Paul warns these Corinthian believers to be careful as to how we look at one another. And this is even relevant to us this day, as to how we ought to be careful what we say, what we think. We are to avoid judging others. Avoid judging one's service for Christ and one's motives for that service. I want to continue on reading in verse 6. Starting from verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Now I did mention earlier that in chapter 3, Paul was talking about some of the divisions that have taken place. And he continues here and cautions the believers here, the Corinthian believers, once again about falling into a trap of following after certain people. Corinthian believers formed small cliques, small groups, following certain leaders or their favorite preachers, be it Paul, Peter, Apollos. And each group believed that they were superior, that they were the only ones who had the whole truth. And thus, spiritually, they felt puffed up. Or in other words, felt proud because they identified themselves with a certain leader. Let's pick this up in chapter 3 and verse 4 onwards. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Paul is telling them not to boast about being identified or being tied with one of these particular leaders, one of these preachers. Each of these men was simple, humble, servant of the Lord, who carried that one message that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and they had that message of salvation. And no preacher of God has a greater status than another. And Paul is able to identify himself with the others, the other apostles, and consider himself as equal, as almost nothing. And when we read further in this chapter up to verse 13, we will see how Paul is able to say what he truly is. He could look into his own life and say that he is nothing. And yet today, we are able to read this letter written by this great man of God. And yet when he looks at himself, he is able to identify himself as almost nothing. And in verse 6 we read here, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. He is applying himself figuratively here. And he's also trying to say here that it is easy for us to be attached to a spiritual leader. It is a natural thing for us, for people, to follow after those who have guided us, who have helped us, who have taught us. But he's cautioning us here against following after just the leader, because he's the favorite one, because he is able. And what that tends to cause is divisions. And that is what Paul is trying to identify here. That when these people, when these believers followed after certain groups of people, the church is being divided. And that is what he's cautioning us even today. It is natural. Like I said right in the beginning, if we look into our own lives, if we are honest with ourselves, doesn't this happen to us as well? We try to identify ourselves with certain groups of people. We like to come to a meeting if we know that a certain person is speaking. It all depends how we identify that person. But let me mention this again, that whoever is speaking, they all use the same word. They all have the same message, just as Paul has been saying. It is true that all of us are not gifted the same way. Some are very eloquent speakers. Some draw a crowd. Some have a great way to communicate what they have to say. And some are probably monotonous, dull, but yet they still have the message. It is the same message that comes from this word. It is a message of salvation through Christ. Any servant of the Lord, any spiritual leader, is an ambassador or a representative of Christ, and has nothing really to offer that God has not already given him. They don't bring anything new. And if they do, then we need to be very cautious. And therefore, Paul is cautioning these people that their loyalty should not cause strife, fight, slander, or broken relationships. But he's also trying to say that your deepest loyalty should be towards Christ and not to his servants. And let's look at verse 8 now. This is a very interesting verse. He goes on to say, now ye are full, now ye are rich. Ye have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God that ye did reign, that we also might reign with you. Paul is using a language here what we would probably turn on and say there is a certain amount of sarcasm in this language, in this little text. But I think Paul is trying to catch their attention. He is trying to show to them how poor they really are because of their haughtiness or their loftiness and spiritual immaturity in comparison to the apostles. Something that we ought to be careful about as well. It's so easy for us to think that we know more than others. But I think we can all learn, like I said, the more I read this book, the more I read this letter, the more I saw myself. And it is hard because if we are honest with ourselves, we are going to see that it is all true. It is coming true. Certain things will be true. And that is why this is here in this book. It was a letter written 55 AD. What do we have to do with it today? But it is relevant to us as well. And now in these next few verses we see a great humility, tremendous humility of this person, Paul. Verse 9 he says, "For I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men." Paul is saying that we are made a spectacle. You know, Paul is talking a language that is probably more understandable to them, the way he's phrased this. Roman generals, when they came back after a victory, they would have all their slaves or their captives coming in the rear, bringing up the rear. And that is where Paul is identifying himself. Men who are condemned to die, just as those warriors of war, captives being brought back by the Roman generals. Similarly, Paul is saying that they, the apostles, are being brought in last to fight till their very death. And therefore, and thus, be a spectacle to the entire world. The time is almost up. But we need to go through these three remaining four verses. And he draws a great comparison between the Corinthian believers and himself and the apostles. And he goes on to say, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day." He's drawn a comparison between himself, the apostles, and the Corinthian believers. He goes on to say that we are fools, but ye are wise. We are weak, but ye are strong. We are despised, but ye are honorable. And he still goes on to say that we are hungry and thirsty. We are naked, very poorly clothed. We are buffeted, beaten up. We are homeless. They have no dwelling place. And yet we labor. They work with their own hands. They make their own living. And yet being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer. We endure. Being slandered, defamed, we entreat. Speak kindly. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. Deepest degradation, scum or rubbish of humanity. What a great person Paul is. One who could identify himself as nothing. Reminds me of one other person who could identify himself as nothing. One who had it all. One who created the entire universe. And that person was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. One who was made nothing by the people, the very people whom he created. Paul, a great person of God, a great servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even as I close here, I want to read in conclusion, just quote a few verses here in this commentary. I must tell you that this book was given to me 2 weeks ago by the assembly. And I was told that it's time for me to retire and to start learning from these books. And I was also told to go ahead and get some wisdom out of this book, these books that have been given to me. And I was also told that this is an early Christmas gift. Well, I should say that it did come in time. I don't think I had the time to read through this commentary to look at chapter 4. But I want to read the conclusion of these first 13 verses of chapter 4. The writer has written here. And pay very close attention to some of the things he has to say. We can only admire such deep devotion to Christ, such sacrificial living, such amazing loyalty, such willing acceptance of suffering, deprivation and loss, such humility and spirituality. He goes on to say, one wonders what the reaction of the apostle would be to present-day affluence and Christian living. Would he be heard to say, ye reign as kings without us? Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, that you speak to us in various ways. A letter that was written to Corinthian believers around 55 AD, and yet so relevant even in our lives today, even in our individual lives and lives of our assembly. Father, we just pray that you would help us to look into our lives. Help us to see where we may have fallen and to be able to correct ourselves. We thank you, O God, for this letter that Paul was able to courageously and with love write to his beloved people to correct them, to instruct them. And Father, we pray that this would be even real in our lives, that we would pick up this as well and correct our lives. Help us, O God, each day as we go in this journey here on earth, that we too might be your servants, one who would do your bidding, one who would keep you as our master. We thank you for your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made it possible for us to be your followers and to be your servants. We thank you for this day again. And Father, we pray that you will bless us that you would be with us the rest of this day. And we ask all this in the most loving name of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.